At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.
So what about I Am Legend? What are we talking about?
So that was the movie when Will Ferrell and Martin Lawrence.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Get together.
They jump off the building, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Was that the one he was like sent back in time to like the 18th century and became a knight?
Yep. Mm-hmm. And then they met up with Jean-Claude Van Damme and just tore shit up.
Oh, yeah. Wasn't The Rock in the sequel?
They recast Samuel Jackson with The Rock.
Okay.
Yeah. Cool.
Was that a movie called Walk Hard?
No, that was Hard Dad
Bod
Seltzer.
Hard Dads Are Us.
Ooh.
I watched that earlier today. It was great.
Well, thanks for bringing that here.
Yeah.
This is Podcast Envy. Welcome to Podcast Envy.
Everything's made up and the points aren't real.
So I guess we should start off with
listener feedback.
No.
We have no listener feedback?
We have listener feedback, but I was going to save it for our...
Not exciting, but true.
not true,
interview.
It's exciting.
I've determined it's a good intro for our interview shows.
Can you just give us one?
Yeah, come on.
Give us one, please.
We've already waited so long to get to this point.
I just want feedback.
Just give me the tip.
You are doing a great job on the podcast, Tim. That's the feedback.
Who said that?
Yeah.
Bill from Phoenix, Arizona.
Oh, thanks, Bill. That's so nice of you.
We love you, Bill.
Yeah. It's nice to have such a transcontinental reach.
You know, I got a separate note from Bill.
Okay.
He said, fuck you, and read one of the emails we got.
That doesn't sound like Bill to me.
Yeah.
Not the Bill I know.
I don't know. If he likes me, then he might have said that.
Bill and I have had a few exchanges. That doesn't sound like the Bill I know.
Okay. All right. Well, let's do a recap. So what's been going on? So we've played a couple shows. Our most recent one was at Heritage Brewing. Mm-hmm. That was on a very hot Friday night.
It was.
That was a fun show, though.
That was fun. Yeah. We captured the attention of those that were already there.
Yep.
And then we had some very special guests to come out and hang out with us.
Yep.
There were
good.
What about maybe a dozen people that were hanging out for a bit on top of those that were already there.
And we played
was a first Friday.
It was a first Friday. Yeah.
Oh yeah.
So there was a lot going on that night and I started doing that with some of the solo gigs where I'm just like I can keep playing, you know, these songs in different varieties, but I'm like, why don't I give some of that power, you know, to the listeners?
I've got the power.
And just pick a number. I already know 45 songs. Pick 1 through 45. Now we collectively know more than that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. As a band, we've got what, like 80 or close to 90 songs, I think?
Yep.
That we don't suck at is what you tell people.
That we don't suck at.
Yep.
And then we had to throw in a curveball. I think we did 3 a.m. That was one that we brought back. And that song actually felt pretty good. That was cool to bring back. Maybe we add that one back. But no, that was a fun show. It's a little toasty. And then we find out at the end that their air conditioning went out halfway through, partway through. So... That's why it was so hot inside.
Oh, it all makes sense. I mean, I could have told them that, but anyway.
Yes.
And we also had Makers Union that was a week before that, I think.
Yeah.
We did.
Mm-hmm.
And that one's always a fun spot. I feel like the late crowd always knows that we're there. So there's always people there, right? Just kind of hanging out. And then there's usually, I don't know, maybe 10 people, a dozen people that come out and see us. And then there's the late crowd that's like at around 10 o'clock.
Yep.
That's when everybody starts piling in because they know that we're there.
Yep.
And then there's like 30 plus people in there just hanging out, slinging drinks and requesting songs. So that's always a good energy spot too. And they redecorated their place to be like that beach bar kind of thing.
It was,
which is cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well,
Jimmy Buffett theme, right? Wasn't it Margaritaville
or something? It was Makers Unionville.
There you go.
That's right. Mm. I forgot about that.
I didn't even notice.
Yep. Jeez. You didn't notice the big flamingo, the inflatable flamingo that we had to move.
It was as a thing that gets in the way, not as a
And well, I was looking over your shoulder the whole time, like, you're doing it wrong.
The beak was punched in. I knew that. Okay. Yeah. It came from bacon.
Stop looking at me, swan.
Something else, too, that's noteworthy. We've added a couple more songs to our set list.
We have.
I Will Survive.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Are we doing the cake version or are we doing the...
It's cake.
It's kind of a blend, okay. I think, of the OG and the cake. I think just because it's... I like the cake version just because of the delivery. So I try to throw that in there and then I get a little fancy with it at the end lyrically and, you know, with the vocals.
Yeah. I think it's coming together.
I mean, I think it has come
and you
together.
Get people's reactions.
Yeah.
Like at Heritage, I saw people were singing along.
Yeah.
And
dancing around, doing the head thing, you know.
I will survive. Don't you come
the finger wag.
No yeah, exactly.
Now go. Walk out the door.
That's actually bacon in the background. So we can't see him.
Oh, is that why he just does the one hand during that part?
Yes, exactly. He's doing
this. I'm just like shaking that finger. How dare you?
How dare you?
Yeah, we're trying to add some more songs. And that honestly kind of sparked by some of the Thursday night stuff that Bacon and I have been doing as like a little duo. We kind of branched off recently.
Yeah.
Have we talked about that since?
No, not really.
Well, have you come up with a name yet first? Or are you just still doing the
bed
B&B?
And breakfast? I don't know.
The question is, oh, wait, that would make you bed, which
makes you breakfast. That's actually not bad.
Damn, that is pretty good. That kind of makes me envy you as bed because there's nothing more I'd like to get into more than bed, really.
I don't know. Breakfast is my favorite meal of the day.
There you go.
You can't go wrong.
That's also
I'm
true.
Bacon.
Yeah.
So, yeah. And because of this, you went out and got a whole new drum kit.
Yeah. I did. Tell us about the new set.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I got a Cajon.
A Cajon.
I struggle.
Tell me more, Hard Dad.
Brought to you by Hard Dad Seltzer. So yeah,
Bacon's Cajon.
I struggle with that word because like it's weird for me to have the H in the middle of that word Cajon. It's just like a weird,
right?
I think it's just the way you say it.
Cajon.
You specifically?
There you go. Yeah, I know. It's a me thing. I'm sure of it.
Yeah.
But yeah, I got a Cajon.
Wrong emphasis on the wrong syllable.
Ooh. I got this box. It's made of wood. It has a hole in the back.
It's made of wood.
And I sit on it.
Are you the man on the box?
I am the man on the box. Good James pulled there.
Yeah.
Actually, I think it's more like wah, wah. Anyway. I thought you guys would laugh at that. Okay.
No, I got it.
It was a Brian joke.
We're treating you like you treated me. Exactly.
That's fucked up, man.
It's come full circle.
Anyway, I got a Cajon, and I've got a bass pedal that beats it with my. So I beat it. Damn it! I got to do better explaining. So I got a Cajon, and I got a bass drum pedal, a hi hat stand with some minimal hi hats. They're 13 inch, smaller than average.
So it's like a kit.
Yeah, so it's like a drum kit, and it has like a hand Cajon, which is like a snare.
Okay.
Attached to it. And also this like pad that came with it, but like no instructions. And like you assume it goes over top of the hand Cajon, which is the snare, but it doesn't fit exactly over top of it.
You know, I just realized I think you're supposed to put it on your head.
Oh, so it's like, it's a yarmulke.
Yeah. It's like this rubber frisbee yarmulke. And that's what you do.
It's part of the whole.
It's the cowbell.
It's the Cajon getup. It's
my Sharona.
And so they know you're in the band.
Yeah. So I play this kit with doweled sticks, and I got like a little shaker, and I got a little foot.
He's
tambourine.
On his game tonight.
I've also just recently added the bongos, so I'll have those to play.
Oh,
as
you
well.
Got the harness or the bracket or whatever that connects to
so,
it. Cool.
Yeah, so I'm going to be using those two. I think that'll make the set a little bit more interesting.
Now all we need is to get the cymbals between his knees and the accordion between his elbows.
Yeah.
And a tambourine on your foot.
I already have a tambourine on my foot.
Oh, then that's perfect.
He does.
Look at you.
Yeah.
The whole shebang.
He's a toe-tapping son of a bitch.
Yeah. So proud of you.
Yeah. So it's cool. It creates a different atmosphere and obviously adding some new songs to the list to try some stuff out. It's just like an arm, an extension of Radio Envy, which is
very cool.
Yeah.
I like it.
Bed and breakfast.
Yep. I like it.
It's like the Thor's hammer of,
Still waiting for it.
and it comes back to you.
Nice.
Yeah. It hammers you in the back.
I think All-Star was another one, right? All-Star?
Yeah, All-Star, Smash Mouth. Yep. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's another one. There's a whole list of others that we've added. And we had a practice and kind of threw a few songs. The other one was the L.A.'s. Is that what it is? There she goes.
Oh, yeah.
There she goes again. Running through my
veins. Yeah, it's the L.A.'s.
Veins.
Yep. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Dun, 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 dun. Yeah. Love it.
Yeah. So there's some new ads in there.
Very cool.
Still getting used to it. Yeah. It only took me 10 years to memorize the 45 or 80 songs that we do.
Give or take.
Yeah. So
look at you.
But it's fun.
So do you have something to tell us about Big Buns, Brian?
Well, I can't lie.
Yeah.
I do like Big Buns. Yeah. So we ran the Rev Media Artist Sessions at Skidoo's for as long as we could. And when that series came to a close, I was approached by I think he's the GM. He's definitely a manager there for specifically the Big Buns in Pacific. Arlington at the Village in Shirlington, and asked if I could play this like 10 week, it's like 9 or 10 week series on Thursdays.
Okay.
And I knew that I couldn't commit to that, but I also thought, well, how, you know, interesting could it possibly be to have me every single week for the next 10 weeks?
Amen.
Like, that could be fun. Like, I mean, it's not that you've known me for what, 22 years?
Give or take.
Something like that. But I was like, you know, having just come off of the artist sessions, right. I was like, what if with them wanting these solo and just one, so it's only 2 hours. So just having one artist for 2 hours, why don't we, you know, pivot over to an artist spotlight?
Okay.
So I reached out to a bunch of the artists that we had in the artist sessions and found many of them that were very interested. And so we lined them up. So it's every Thursday. It's for about 2 hours, between 7 and 9. It's right there on the corner. Their burgers, if you haven't been there, they are insane.
Really?
I don't know what it is. You know, sprinkle a little crack on it. Let's get out of here. That's how good it is.
Legal disclaimer, they do not actually sprinkle crack on it.
No hard drugs anyway.
Just the light ones.
Yeah. But they're cool. It's a good spot. And so, yeah, we'll do the summer series. I think it ends on the 12th. The last artist that we have is going to be Vanessa and her buddy Greg.
V&G.
V&G acoustic duo, yeah. So, but we've got David Sparrow coming up next. We just had Tejas. Brittany Frazier is coming up. Nate Finn, who is someone that I had on the schedule for the artist sessions at Skidoo's that we just didn't quite get to. So yeah. I'm excited to have him out. We just had Justin Swade as well. So yeah, a lot of phenomenal local artists coming through there.
So is this really on cool. Thursdays?
Thursdays, 7 to 9. It's specifically the one at the Village in Shirlington. It's 40, you'll like this, 4251 Campbell.
Ooh.
Avenue.
Oh.
Yeah.
They named it after me.
Yeah, Timothy.
Present. Okay. And I hear, Brian, you're getting a little emotional over there. Do you have an EP coming out? Are you working on something like that?
Tim.
Yeah?
Why do you ask me these personal questions?
Oh, boy. He's going into his dark cloud.
I think you misheard him. I think he said he has a DP coming.
God. Deep. Personal.
You're like, all I can think about is penetration right now.
Penetration. How do you like your massages?
DPs.
Penetrating.
Personal.
Yeah.
Ooh.
Yeah, I, you know, I've really missed
the little things.
I missed the little things.
Hey, that's
things
not nice.
Sure. Enough. Enough that I wrote a song about it. Yeah. I miss Timmy's little things.
No, it didn't work as
the
well.
The way he'd look at me.
Oh, God, that was good. Anywho, hope you cut that too. All right, back to what I was talking
well,
about.
Well, to try to make a long story short, thank as God. It is, when I started the album that I went into the studio for back in 2021.
Right.
It might have been end of 2020. I don't know. It was like a year and a half.
After COVID?
Yeah, it was after COVID.
Okay.
This was after we did Everything and All, had such an awesome experience. Yeah.
Great song, by the way.
And I have, I have over 100 songs, probably 150 songs that are done, but they're all over the place. Mm-hmm. Some's country, some's alternative, some's more R&B, some's more emo.
Okay.
So anyway, I started in 2021 working on this album. We hit recording Red and Gold, and I was like, okay, that song resonated so hard with me, like a seltzer, that I thought... I thought this would be a good point to kind of make a right turn and maybe record some of these other songs as more of a singer-songwriter album.
Okay.
So I had already recorded stuff or had started recording stuff like Oh Brother,
mm-hmm.
My Newfound Friend, and some of the other originals that we play live.
Sure.
And just never finished them. So they just kind of sat there. So, you know, took that right turn, did the Come and Go album, came out with it, but I still wanted more. So started doing the 20 weeks of original songs. People picked Honey Love and right. I picked Oh Brother. So that was cool. Got to go back in the studio and do the Oh Brother song. Finally finish that project, which is really cool. And I've got a personal story on that one that, you know, we can tap into in a minute if you want.
Okay.
We can always come back to that. But then I thought, you know, with some of the songs that... Then I thought with some of the songs that we had already recorded that it'd be cool to get back in the studio and maybe not, I don't have the money yet to like go back and finish that project, but maybe I could do a smaller one. And so, yeah, so I reached out to 38 North and Falls Church, specifically Buddy Spear, who's one of the managing partners there. He's also a phenomenal producer, guitarist. You know, he really is a wizard. He does everything. And asked him if he had some time to do an EP, and I threw him some of the ideas, and he was like, hell yeah, this is totally my wheelhouse. Cause Buddy used to be in a band in the late 90s, early 2000s. And that style of music was totally his vibe.
Okay.
Jimmy Eat World, Taking Back Sunday, mm-hmm. like all those, you know, kinds of rock emo type bands. So this is a perfect project for him. And it truly has proven to be true. We have been in the studio the last 3 days. This was day three. So primarily what you do, at least the way that we've been building these songs, is you start with a scratch track and then you go back and you build drums and then you go from drums to, the like rhythm section. You'll do rhythm guitars and then you might do bass guitar and then you start doing the stuff on top. And one of the last things that you do is vocals, because you don't really know exactly how the song is going to take shape until you get there. And what that ends up doing is creating such an energy around the song that when you do track the vocals, you know, more or less where you need to be with the energy when you come in there. So yeah, so we just did day three. We didn't get to all the vocals that we had planned to get to, just because these songs really, you kind of take for granted what you listen to on the radio or on an album. Now that we've gotten past the 8-track,
sure.
You know, where there are options to sit there and track and retrack so many different layers digitally. And so we will probably have at least one more day in the studio. It might be 2 more days.
Okay.
But yeah, Sean Russell, engineering over there. We had 2 different drummers, Andy Hamburger and Brandon Brazil, who recently, or not recently, I don't know for sure exactly when that relationship started. But this guy, Jack Kays, he's got like 250,000 followers on Instagram. He's kind of like this 18, 19-year-old like punk rock kind of guy, that he, Brandon is his drummer. And so he came in for a session. Sean, the engineer, recognized, you know, that potential, kind of, you know, just kept his contact info, shared it with Buddy. Buddy, when I told him about this project, he was like, not only is this in my wheelhouse, but I already have a drummer that would be perfect for this project. Like that style of music, he's already in it. Young guy. And went in the studio and he just absolutely blew me away. It was really cool. And so that it's just, it's fun to be in there. I love that space. I love the energy in that room.
Okay. So yeah. What songs are on this EP coming up?
So we got 3 songs. We got, Your Eyes, which funny enough, it's not Peter Gabriel. Oh. It's not Beautiful Eyes.
Oh.
It's an original song that I wrote probably
about eyes,
eyeballs. Yeah. Actually, oh, it's funny. The
weird.
The words, your eyes are only in the song once, but there's multiple choruses, but I didn't know what else to call it. It's more of like a story the way the song's written.
Okay.
But there is a lot of repeatable stuff. So we got that one, Highs and Lows, which okay. I know you remember when I first wrote that song.
Yep.
I think we only played that maybe once or twice when we were kind of in that workshopping, playing originals live kind of thing. And then the third one is Resist You, which is one of the ones that you love.
One of Bacon's faves. Live.
Yeah.
Yes.
So I don't have anything that I wish I could share. Actually, you know what? That's not true. I do have something I can share. If you want to hear something completely unmixed.
Well, it's up to you.
Very
raw.
You're
the one that's putting it out there.
Yeah. I can.
I'm all about it.
We're on the fly. I got it right here.
I think the hard thing about playing some of these songs live, though, is you need the right audience for it.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that's what we kind of run into a lot when we try to play stuff that's not your party style, dance style, sing-along style songs that a lot of times I feel like people take some of those slower ballads or emo songs and use them as...
Go to your Bluetooth.
Bathroom songs.
Right?
Yeah.
No bathroom songs.
Yeah.
Which one do you want me to pick? VSC?
It should be Rodecaster Pro.
Yep. Got it. So, mind you, we revisited this song today and spent about 4 hours tracking like four additional layers of guitars. Mm. So I don't have that version, but yeah. And I don't remember what was saved on this, but Sean has him being at the control panel has a tendency for capturing things that I say out of context, isolating them, kind of like what you do, Bacon.
I don't think that's something I do.
And then reconfiguring where it's phrased so that it then becomes like a blackmail kind of thing.
Oh, yeah, I do that. Yeah,
yeah, yeah.
That sounds totally right.
Yeah. Yeah. I like that.
All right, let's see. I'm connected. I'm going to turn the volume all the way up. Let's see what we got. No vocals. I had him take the vocals out because I really need to sit with the music overnight. But you kind of get a sense for it, right?
Yeah.
It's a different vibe than I was expecting.
Yeah.
Same. Sounds like a chorus is coming up.
I'm trying to get this off my mind. I can't seem to leave these feelings behind. So vocally, this was an exercise.
Yeah.
Because...
Yeah, did you have to change a little bit? Because it's not really like a ballad anymore.
No.
This is like, I feel like a little punky.
Yeah, I was going to say, blinky. It sounds a little blinky.
It's a little punky. Yep. So what did you have to change with the vocals?
So I sang it kind of straight through as we, sometimes we'll just kind of sing these songs. And I sang it through. And we agreed that like it was okay, but we could get more into character. And so we ended up actually chopping up the song vocally into segments because there are some moments that are really close to the microphone and then some moments where I needed to get loud and kind of screamo.
Okay.
Not traditional screamo. Yeah.
When I was a young boy.
Yeah. But think about it. Like even just the accent that you just kind of applied to that. When I was a young boy. So you have to like put yourself into that character. And that was really hard for me because I'm used to fly me to the moon.
All right.
You know, I'm used to doing like R&B and like all the fun, poppy.
Flowy.
But yeah.
It flows.
Yep. So this was really challenging. Exactly. Really challenging to get into. Do you want to hear part of one more?
Sure.
So this is one that we don't play. So it might be super unfamiliar, but I think he actually did throw...
Do you have vocals on this one, or
no,
are we just
none of these have vocals? I know. I'm sorry. I'm happy to sing it.
Okay. We're happy to hear you.
But yeah. I did that intentionally because I really needed to get away from the scratch vocals when I listened to it overnight. And then I came up with laundry lists of notes for each one of like, here's where I want to do doubles. Here's where I want the copperphone microphone. Ooh, okay. Here's where I want to do like reverb echoey stuff. And so I really needed to like strip all the scratch pre-programmed stuff. To really come up with something fresh.
Okay.
So, all right, you got the volume up on that?
Yeah.
All right.
Does this one have to do with your eyes?
A little bit.
Okay.
Tree Fitty.
Crank it up. So we haven't done vocals on this one at all, except for scratch. So I haven't gotten into my character yet, but I'll sing part of it.
The look in your eyes is telling me, please come over. Well, I can't deny you beckon me without saying one word. What have you done to me? I can't control myself. Baby, I just can't believe that you're out here in front of me.
Goes in the second verse.
That was good.
That's pretty fun.
That's going to mix nicely.
Oh, it's going to be amazing.
Yeah.
This segment is brought to you by Music is the Future.
That's right. It's not today, it's tomorrow.
That's right.
Yeah, you know what the next one should be? New music coming soon, TM.
Yeah, right?
Yeah, exactly.
That's right.
So speaking of emo music and... kind of getting into that realm. Bacon, didn't you read an article recently about indie music that kind of takes us back to the early 2000s?
Yeah.
All right. So think about 2004.
Okay.
That's the time we're thinking about. Was there a TV show that you were watching?
That's 20 years ago.
Yeah, I know.
We're going back 20 years.
20 years.
Okay. Sorry. Okay. I was late on that.
Yeah. I mean, I think there was a lot of, especially...
think of a TV show in 2004 that what?
That introduced you to a new song that was like during a very heartfelt moment. There was this song on in the background.
I feel like,
you're like, that sounds like
I don't
a band.
Know the name of the show, but I feel like Yellow by Coldplay, maybe.
Probably.
Yeah.
I feel like there was, I can remember, so 2004... There was a girl I was dating at the time that was really big into Grey's Anatomy. Mm. And I remember The Fray.
Oh, yeah. Another great band to tie to a TV show for sure.
There was a lot of different TV shows, especially on, your regular TV, right?
So the C-dubs.
Yes.
Oh, take me back.
Which was great for a doctor show, right? How to Save a Life. But I had never heard of The Fray. I mean, they had, Cable Car?
They had the...
That was seconds, their first song, right?
2 seconds on the clock or whatever that song was.
Cable Car.
Oh, is that what that's called?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Sorry. Yeah, yeah. I don't know.
So that was their first song. But then that song really, helped them take off.
Yeah.
But they were kind of a no-name band. And I think there was a lot of other bands like that. Smallville was on back then, right?
Smallville was on back then. Even the lead singer of the band that did the theme song auditioned to be Superman.
Oh, my
gosh. So he was like a singer in a band trying to go the 30 Seconds to Mars route.
Wait, was it the guy that ended
like
up casting?
Jared Leto?
No.
No, oh.
Yeah, no, I know what you're talking about. And then we had... was that like the same time as...
Remy Zero. That was the name of the band, sorry.
Okay. Oh, yeah. I remember them.
That's around the same time as like Dawson's Creek and the OC and those types of TV shows were on, right?
Yeah, and the OC is specifically known for
Pacific.
Like kind of
California.
Yes.
They're
California.
We used to do that song.
Yeah.
Yeah, and they
when I used to know how to do solos.
You're too hard on yourself.
Yeah, I got fat fingers and arthritis.
So a lot of those TV shows I remember had songs, but they weren't really on the radio.
Yeah, how did they even find out who they were? Tell me their secrets.
Well, I don't really have the answer to the secrets. But I can tell you that 2004 is a specific year for indie music where things kind of changed. Before 2004, there were these indie artists that just were playing out there, hopefully getting signed to some, you know, obscure record label. No, this is
it's all over.
Okay. Everywhere, as far as I know. Myself included, when I was in Plunger, like we were like an indie band looking to, we weren't like mainstream, quote unquote.
Could have been the band name.
Could have been. And we were trying to, make it in that time period. And, you know, we could have been on the TV show.
Yeah.
We could have been a contender. No, but like, yeah, during that time, 2004 and on, especially like TV shows like The OC, How I Met Your Mother.
Oh, yeah.
Movies like 500 Days of Summer, Garden State.
Juno. Mm.
Juno. That's another good one.
Mm-hmm. Garden State was a big one for me.
Huge one for me.
Yeah, well, Zach Braff was big. Scrubs. Scrubs was another TV show that was big with music.
Yep.
He apparently picked all of those songs for the album. I remember reading that somewhere.
And it was like the last.
That's entirely true.
It was the last soundtrack. As far as I know, I could be wrong about this, but as far as I know, that had like indie music that introduced the world to the music.
Yeah.
And they got a Grammy for that.
Dude, that whole album is priceless.
You know what makes it so priceless?
What's up?
Yeah, right.
Oh, that was a bit early.
New Slang by The Shins.
Oh, okay.
That I'm one of those people that
gold teeth and a curse for this town.
They say that but Natalie Portman in that movie said, hand the headphones to Zach Braff. I was like, this will change your life.
Gold teeth and a curse for this town. They're all in my mouth. Only I don't know how.
It's a great song.
And truly for me, it changed my life. I got really into indie music around that time.
Was this also the album that the soundtrack that had Such Great Heights before it got picked up by Postal Service?
Ooh, that's a good question.
I feel like it might be.
Now, was this after?
It might not be Iron and Wine, but that's another band from that space.
Yeah. I'm going to check.
Was this after or I guess still during or maybe in the late stages of like the Napster, LimeWire, all of those streaming services? Because I think it was before Apple.
Definitely before Apple Music when it used to be iTunes.
Yeah.
It was more the LimeWire age or the Pirate Bay stage.
Because I remember
Napster was more in my high school years.
You guys remember Morpheus?
Morpheus, yes. Whoa. But I think the only the thing that always got me was...
It was Iron and Wine.
It is Iron and Wine.
It is Iron and Wine.
And was it on that album now?
Yeah.
Yeah!
What was always so bad about downloading all those songs illegally, it was always like the DJ Cake Slice. We the best.
Or your computer just like crashed every time you turned it on.
You have a worm. But I think what was cool about that was like, especially with like Scrubs or OC or whatever. Yeah. You'd hear the song and then you'd look it up and try to find it. Sure. Right. And it was never somebody that you knew, like David Gray with This Year's Love.
Oh my God.
What a great song that was.
What a great pull.
I think it was Scrubs. I could be wrong. I'm sure Jamie will correct me, but I feel like I heard that song and
hit Girl me. Next Door.
Oh, that
the movie?
Was.
Yeah.
Oh God.
Yes.
What a movie.
That's right.
Alicia Cuthbert.
Yes.
Is that her name?
So hot in that movie. So hot. Yeah. But yeah, that's right. So, okay. So, but you would hear these songs and not know who the artist was. It almost felt like, you know, you were an insider.
Yeah, but that was also during the time, like one of the last episodes we just released, we were talking about how you didn't know the lyrics until you pulled out the sleeve from the CD. Like that was a period of time where you didn't really know artists unless they were on the radio or, you know, you just happened to take a chance on an album that you saw in the store and you're like, this one's, you know, under new releases, whatever, you know, give it a try.
Yeah.
Because you couldn't look everything up on the internet. It wasn't a YouTube situation where you could just do your research before you jumped, you know, into it.
Yeah.
So hearing them on the TV shows, you're like, what else do they have? What else do they do?
I think a lot of it has to do with the fact that the age that I was, that we were back then, maybe the relationship statuses we were all in, because I think all of them kind of hit, right?
You big softy.
I know.
I picked that song and you're like, you know, the place that I was in. And
but it's true. Oh, whatever. Like, you were never in love. Get out of here. You were never in love.
I can speak to that, actually.
Thank you, Bacon.
Yeah, tell me. Was I in love?
All right, can we turn his mic off and we'll just talk about
this?
Well, so anyway.
I'm Bacon.
So there was this girl that I dated in 2004 specifically.
Because of
Dawson's Creek. She and I got together around 2000. No, that was in the 90s, actually. No, but like when we first started dating, she started sharing music with me. Like, I had been always like classic rock, alternative, da da da. But she started sharing me this like indie stuff. Like this one.
It's called
band.
A mixtape. Okay. We were making mixtapes.
She made me a mixtape.
Yeah.
And she introduced me to bands like Saves the Day.
Yeah.
Running against your body. Cut some flesh away. Carry this.
She introduced me to The Shins, actually, before the Garden State movie came out.
Have you ever heard of Thursday?
It comes after Wednesday.
Yeah.
Oh,
and
oh,
it's
yeah.
before Friday.
It's a band.
Yes.
It's a band.
Are you sure it's not the Wednesdays you're thinking
well,
of?
Well, that, no, it's, no, the band's called Thursday.
Tuesdays.
The song is called Understanding a Car Crash or Understanding in a Car Crash. Mm. That era of music definitely hit me. Midtown was another band that was popular in that time. What else? I was all over the place. Jimmy Eat World, big Jimmy Eat World fan.
Yeah. Well, were they indie? Would you consider Jimmy Eat World indie?
I thought Jimmy Eat World was more alternative.
Yeah.
They were like DC 101 alternative rock.
No, it's okay.
I think that's the purpose of you bringing this up, right? Because there was definitely a blurred line between what was indie and what was mainstream, right?
Yeah, because you would hear these unsung bands on the TV all the time, and you would be like, oh, I've never heard that band. Then, like, if it's a popular episode and a whole bunch of people turn in, suddenly you've got everybody listening to, you know, Float On by Modest Mouse.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and honestly, if you listen to any other song by Modest Mouse, it doesn't sound anything like this song.
It's, yeah, true.
It's all screaming your head off, like, you're in this glass case of emotion. Like, what is happening right now?
Milk was a bad
Yeah,
choice.
But holy cow.
Well, a good example of like indie and pop.
Okay.
And is a band that came out during that time.
The Killers.
Oh, of course. You can't go to any bar doing karaoke without somebody singing this song.
So good.
Everybody knows all the words.
This song came out in 2004.
Okay.
Which means it's five years away from being classic rock.
By your definition.
According to you. So you say.
I'm still in it, man.
But an example of a band that like was a hit.
It's Grandpa Simpson.
And one day it'll happen to you when what you thought was it isn't it anymore.
And all you can do is open pickle jars
with your fat arthritic fingers.
So the point that I think we have tried to make, I'm not sure if we've gone there yet, but 2004 was like kind of a touchstone for indie music when it hit the mainstream, the monoculture, if you will, where everybody heard these indie artists and then indie became mainstream. So what did indie really mean in the first place? Like, was it...
Like if everybody was already headed in that direction kind of thing.
Like, was it a sound? Was it a movement? Was it a kind of category? Like, I'm not signed with a major
label.
Maybe
it's just a placeholder. It's just a placeholder. It's that spot that you reside within between being completely unknown and having the opportunity to sell out.
And you know what else happened in that time? Can you guess what else came about in the time between 2004 and 2008? Big shift in the music industry.
Did Napster get crushed?
No.
Spotify.
Before that.
Ooh. Yeah, I was going to say, I don't think Spotify
the
was a thing
yet. iPod.
Before that, I think.
iPod.
Was a television show.
Cheers.
No. I think you're a decade or so too late. Yeah, what the
fuck? Frasier.
What the fuck are you talking about?
American Idol.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah. Yes. That's the year I tried out.
Yeah.
I tried out for American Idol the first year that they did it.
And?
And you may or may not know this, Tim, actually, which is surprising. I may be dropping a truth bomb on you.
Uh-oh.
Breaking news. Not the explosion I was expecting, but I'll take it.
So that's what she said. I waited in line for that year of American Idol with Stephen Wells.
Okay.
Our boy from high school, you know, choir.
And?
You're in line, and then you get to the point where you have to sign the form, and then they make you wait there basically overnight. And that's the way that they did it. I don't know if they've changed their structure. So they set you up with these five or six booths with three judges, and they line you up, you know, like six or seven in a row, and they just go sing. They listen to 5 seconds of you singing.
What did you sing?
And either you're in or out. If they don't like you within 5 seconds of listening to you sing, they cut your wristband. And then you know, have to do the walk of shame.
That's physical.
Yeah.
Wow. That's physical rejection.
And then did you turn and you're like, I'll show you. Well, I'm a great singer.
I'm standing there in my corduroy pants and my, you know, t-shirt with
holes
in it.
Sounds like a song.
And I say,
country song.
In my corduroy pants.
Probably smelled like reefer from, you know, the night before.
Right.
Reefer. What is it? 1968?
Reefer. Bump, 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 bump. And so they finally got to Steven.
Okay.
And they cut him almost immediately, and I felt really bad.
What did he sing?
I don't even remember what he sang.
Oh, okay.
I Will Survive by Cake.
No, he sang that as he was walking out. Okay. And he's like, no, you walked out the door. I first sang Water Runs Dry.
Okay.
Let's don't wait till the water runs dry. Right, Boyz II Men.
Yeah.
And I was obsessed with Boyz II Men at the time. And so that's why I picked them. And they stopped me and they were like, okay, love the voice, but we need something else.
We need different pants.
We need.
They're like, corduroys aren't working for us. Chief. Corduroys, at least put a sweater on.
And I was like, and I you have smell other like, colors.
You smell like the reefer.
I got black. I got brown. I could be green. I can be. Yeah. Okay. These kids these days.
Yeah, exactly. Smoking the reefer. And is that Bill Shakespeare over there? Using that paper for writing or for rolling doobies?
Anyway. All right. So you sang Water Runs Dry.
So I sang Water Runs Dry. And they were like, love the voice, but we need more energy. So they were like, well, sing something else. What else do you have? And the first thing that I thought was,
oh, boy.
Doom, doom.
In the still of the night.
Yeah. Okay. So I sang in the still. And I got really into it. And they were like, yes. And they were like, now take that energy and go back to the first song. And I was like,
oh, no. I have to take direction? What is this?
It was so bad. And they were like, you know, honestly, you were great. But they were like, come back next year. Psh, cut the wristband. And so we all walked out of there losers. But that was the year that Kelly Clarkson won.
It was. So,
and I don't know if I could have competed with that because she's incredible.
I guess when people like William Hung made it through, I guess they had more energy than well, you. Is
bangs,
that what that was?
Doesn't he? He bangs.
So that was the other thing. Oh, is baby, you guys, you already moves, know, I mean, 20 years in the making that they also pick people that they think like, they can kind of exploit.
You'll
you know.
Be hilarious to turn into a thing that people make fun of.
Ratings.
Not the drama, the comedy.
Yeah.
Well, at least, at least you didn't go that route. You got cut before they took you that way.
So can I tell you guys what else was on the form? So the form is like incidental stuff, like in case something happens to you, blah, blah, blah. But on the other side of the form, it's if you perform any original music.
They own it.
Yeah. Even if you already have a copy written, because they then have this legally binding document that you've signed to say that you've agreed to then pass over the copyrights to them. And I remember signing that and then not making it and then thinking to myself,
I had some stuff written, but I was like, man, like what a weird thing to put in front of someone who's, you know, just walking into this and doesn't really know what they're getting themselves into.
And just hopes they can hit that high note on the Whitney Houston song.
Yeah,
you know what
sure.
I mean?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. So it just felt weird to me. That and I was kind of glad that it didn't go anywhere.
It's good that you waited till the water ran dry.
Yeah. Anyway. I think that's partially the reason that we don't really see much more of the winners of these shows. Like point me to the Voice winner that did anything.
Michael Huntley.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So what happened?
I'm sorry, I don't know where he is right now. Michael Huntley. He's from Fredericksburg, Virginia.
But the reason I bring up American Idol is because, so American Idol started in like 2001. It wasn't until like 2004, 2005, they started bringing these indie artists, and people would come in and sing the indie artist song that made the top 10 that week because it was on Grey's Anatomy.
Oh, okay.
Do you know what they do though with the top 10 winners of, or top 10 contestants of American Idol?
Don't they go on tour?
They go on tour. Yeah. Now the expenses of travel and food and stuff like that are paid for, but there's no salary associated with it.
Right. You've got to be kidding.
And you are contractually obligated unless you want to buy out of that contract.
That is exploitation, bro.
To travel with them. So you're basically like, you know, they're just giving you scraps. Kind of thing.
Is fame worth that?
Right.
Man?
Could you imagine having a family and being like, I got nothing to send you home. So you're like picking up part-time jobs in between these gigs while you're traveling with them. I don't even know what you would do.
I think the idea is that it's kind of like your kickstart, right? And so it's your first experience. It's your first exposure. You're getting out there. You're building somewhat of a fan base that when the training wheels are off and you're out of American Idol, then you can kind of grow and prosper and stuff, right? Don't forget, October 5th, we're at Sinistral. Come check us out. In the meantime, check us out on all of our socials. And Bacon, anything else from you, buddy?
Like and subscribe.
That's right. And B-Rye, can you...
I'm Bacon.
Sing us all. This podcast was produced by Bacon Wave Podcast Production in association with Revelry Media Productions. Michael Bacon engineered this podcast. Video provided by Brian Johnson. Snackies provided by Timmy C himself. That's right. If you enjoyed this podcast, please share it with your friends and even your family or anybody, I guess, please. To get in touch with us, send us feedback at feedback@podcastnv.com. Follow us on Instagram @podcastrnv and on TikTok @podcast.nv. Visit our website at podcastnv.com. We'll see you soon, baby.